Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number to call, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us. Open lines on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Excited about that. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's kind of funny because when I've been doing these Facebook Live and YouTube Live kind of sessions during the day, it says on there live, and it's live while we're doing it. But then, of course, the version of it that still sits out there in the ether for eternity to be reviewed and ends up having more viewers in reruns, if you will, still has the live phone number on it, which will still ring me if I'm logged into my Gmail account, because I use Google Voice for that phone number.
Okay.
It's able to spell ghost out in that phone number. So right as we're about to start doing today's episode and record our normal podcast, someone was calling that number, I think thinking it was live, but hey, the timing worked out well. So I said, hey, let's do a live call on this show. So caller, are you there? Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
I can hear you breathing, so I know you must be there. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm calling from Tennessee.
Okay.
I live in Monroe County, and my name is Hunter Mosier.
All right. You got a ghost story for us?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, me and my brother and my daddy, we moved into this house, okay? And we didn't know what was in there, and I knew something was wrong. And see, you know how ghosts can make people sick sometimes if it's like a poltergeist?
Sure, we've heard of that before.
Well, yeah, well, see, I got sick the next 2 days, and I told Dad, he said it wasn't nothing. And then he took me to the doctor, and the doctor couldn't find nothing wrong with me, so we came back to the house, and I was laying in the bed. I was shaking all over like I was having a fever or something. And I was laying there. I heard knocking under the bed. So I got up. I looked under the bed, and nothing was there. And then I looked right behind me. And at that door, I saw a gray figure. He was bright as day. He looked at me, and it scared the crap out of me. But I don't remember what clothes, but I think it was mid-1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know how you hold up a hand to charge that right hand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he did, and I just got down. I didn't know what to do. People called me crazy for a couple of days there.
I can imagine. I mean, if it's something that someone else has not experienced, that you're going to have that reaction of, well, wow, you're making it up or you're crazy, but you know, if you had the experience and you went through it, you know all too well that it's real. And that's really all that matters. What is interesting about when someone gets sick from from interaction with something like that. It really makes me wonder what exactly are they getting sick with, especially when the doctor's not finding anything. I wonder if it's one of those things where, you know, you can physically make yourself ill if you're, you know, anxious about something, if you're feeling that way about something. And that, I wonder if it's kind of like that, of like an extreme anxiety that they can play into. And you may not even be conscious of the anxiety, but that's like what they play into, where it's not going to be diagnosed in any way, shape, or form, but they're essentially exciting all those emotions within you. And that's what ends up giving you, you know, the fever, the chills, the shakes, and all that. It's, they're able to tap into that some way.
Okay.
It's very, very bizarre. But thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome. All right, anytime.
All right, you take care. Thanks for listening. There you go.
Well, I think sometimes that illness feeling when you know something is off, you're in an off place, it feels a lot like seasickness.
Sure.
You just kind of feel a little like your equilibrium's kind of off, or, you know, almost like a bad ear infection where you just kind of, you're feeling off and you kind of feel queasy.
Mm-hmm.
It almost makes me wonder if maybe it's not the different types of energies just affecting your body negatively.
Sure.
I mean, that's the closest thing I can think of.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I was meaning in a way, you know, where it's just like, it's not, you're not getting like a virus or anything like that. It's just draining your emotions so much, which is essentially kind of like what anxiety will do too.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on. And it's like you're a battery and it's sucking it out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that being the case. But interesting story.
There we go.
Very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone over here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to say, because we've been getting a lot of these stories in about The Conjuring 2. And this is interesting because this is an actual, it's documented. This allegedly happened in India, though. So I don't know. You know, I mean, this is, you know, a lot of news sources, translating news sources. And how accurate was the original news source? I don't know.
Okay.
But here is what the story is. The one I'm reading this off of is RT news source. It says, like a mysterious plot from a scary movie, an Indian parishioner died while watching the horror film The Conjuring 2, only for his body to go missing. As a newly released film reached its climax during a cinema screening on Thursday in a town that there's no way I'm going to be able to pronounce the name of. The man complained of chest pains before fainting. A friend then rushed the 65-year-old to a nearby hospital, but he died by the time they arrived. This is reported by the Times of India. Doctors then asked Prasad to transfer the body to the government medical college hospital on the outskirts of town for a post-mortem. Much like a horror script, in real-life events, it took an eerie plot twist as both men, the man that was taking him, and the dead man disappeared, never arrived at the morgue. Police have launched an investigation into the disappearance, talking to taxi drivers in the area to see if anyone saw the man or his friend. They have no idea where he is at this time. So I don't know. It's very, very bizarre. You know, is this a case of you know, something dark or demonic happening, or is it just a case of, you know, were these two, you know, abducted or something, you know, and it just happened that they saw The Conjuring earlier on?
I kind of suspect foul play of the humankind,
sure.
not necessarily that the disappearance is related, but mm-hmm. it is very ironic that happened.
Yeah, I mean, the timing is perfect for another horror movie.
Yeah.
So now they have the plot of Conjuring 3.
And you're going to see Conjuring 2 by yourself, not in our house.
Where am I going to see it?
At a movie theater.
It's, by the time I actually get to it, it will be out of the theater.
Well, you just better take 2 hours and go do it.
What if I watch it on my phone in the woods?
That's fine. Would you that can be do okay? whatever you want in the woods.
That's how I'm going to have to watch this movie at our new house.
Yeah.
Like, where's Dad? He's out in the woods watching a movie.
Yeah. We're not going to stir anything up that may potentially be there.
Okay.
Until I get good, you know, completely good vibes that nothing's around.
Mm-hmm. And you saged the hell out of the house.
Yeah, you're not going to watch it at home.
Okay. What if I like do the goat blood or something around the door too?
Don't do
where
that.
We watch movies.
That's, just, that's the wrong thing.
That's the wrong thing. That's true. The wrong thing. I'm not good at my rituals of keeping ghosts out. I just kind of go always to goat blood or something.
That's Passover. That's not,
true. That's not keeping
that's not
demons
keeping
out.
Keeping demons out.
Okay. Well, okay. In the woods with my phone, I shall watch The Conjuring too.
That'll be special.
Who is that man down in the woods over there?
Oh, that's that new guy. He's from Kansas.
He watches movies under the oak tree.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Great way to meet the neighbors. Hi. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. John, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is John. And I thought I would record an experience I had when I was young and share it with you and your audience. I was browsing through Spotify when I came across you guys' channel, and I gotta say, I'm liking what I'm hearing. It gets me through my day. You know, I like to be spooked out a little bit and think about the paranormal and things like that on my off time. I think it's kind of interesting that you guys have a bunk bed bell. I never knew that so many different people had strange experiences revolving around bunk beds before, but I think the story I'm going to tell you, like, it helped me make sense of what I dealt with as a child. I originally grew up in Sugar Land, Texas. It's a suburban city right outside of Houston. And it was my brother, my mom, my dad, and myself. And growing up, my little brother and I, had a bunk bed. Now, whether or not it's related, but listening to some of the other stories, I think it might be. I used to suffer from sleepwalking and night terrors. Just like a lot of children, I've come to find out later on through my own reading and education that they also suffer with night terrors. But my particular, I guess what you would say, my terrors were, they seemed to stop after I moved out of that room and we moved the bed to a different house, my grandfather's house, and then it all seemed to stop. But this is one particular night where I remember actually what happened, and this is that story going on for a long time. So I don't remember exactly how old I was, but one night I was just compelled to sort of wake up. And my mom used to make my brother and I sleep with our door open. So when you wake up, the way this room's laid out, as soon as I wake up in the top bunk, I would have to climb down the ladder. And then as I walk out through where the front door is, I'm instantly in the hallway next to where our front door to the house, and the kitchen opened up, and then immediately to the left is a living room. Well, by this point, I'd already climbed down, and I'm making my way towards the living room, and it's dark, and I see in our living room just people just standing around. It's pitch black. They got pale white faces. They have, you know, eyes that are dark seeming, but I can make out that, you know, something's not right. So right next to the living room is my parents' room, and their door's open so my mom could hear my brother and I in case anything happened. Well, I get to my mother's room, and I just start screaming, you know, like, there's people, there's, you know, I don't know what's going on. But my parents aren't waking up, and I'm just there, and I'm stunned, and I feel like I can barely move, but I'm just screaming. You know, it feels like at the top of my lungs for them to wake up. Eventually, my mom rolls over and she kind of just says to me, you know, just, you know, go to sleep, go back to your room. And I don't know what I was feeling at that exact moment, but somehow, next thing I know is I'm walking back to my room. And I enter my room, and my brother's asleep. He's none the wiser to any of this in the bottom bunk. And then as I get to the foot of the bed where the ladder is to climb back up to mine, I look down and I see this woman just lying on my brother's bed. And her head is where the foot of the bed is. And she's looking up and she's smiling at me. And I don't know what to do with myself or how to react. I just start screaming out the top of my lungs, just, "Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?" And it's at that moment, or the moments to follow, that next thing I know, the lights are on and my mother is holding my now absolute terrified brother. My dad is grabbing onto me and, you know, they're just trying to make sense of what's going on. I'm still none the wiser. I have no clue what's happening. And I get put back into my bed and the lights go off. And that was the end of it. It was, I don't know how to explain it. The next morning, when I see my mom and my dad, I tell them about this nightmare I had the night before. And they look at me and they said, Are you serious? Are you okay? And I said, yeah, you know, it was just a nightmare. And then that's when they told me that I came into their living room and I was just standing perfectly still. And then my mom woke up and she saw me just standing there looking at her. And she told me to go to sleep. And then I left the living room and then I went back to my bed. And that's when I started yelling at my brother. And then that's when they came in. And then that's when they told me to go back to bed for real. And I just climbed back up to my bed and they didn't hear anything else from me the entire night. So that's that story. I hope you enjoyed it. And I really just want to know, because I've only been listening for a few weeks and I don't know what the full extent of the whole bunk bed thing is, but if it warrants its own bell, I'd definitely like to know what some of these theories are and about why it seems like bunk beds are just so prone to all this, you know? Anyway, this is John. Keep up the good work. I want to be an EPP, but I just got to make sure that, you know, my funds are right first. In the meantime, I'm just enjoying the show and just want to say thank you again, and, you know, bye.
All right, John, thank you for recording your story and emailing it into us.
We wish we knew the reason behind the bunk bed phenomenon, is I think what we can call it.
Sure.
It seems like anybody that's had a bunk bed has a scary story to tell.
Yeah, it does. There's so many weird things, and I personally go back to connecting the dots where I think there was something weird with some bunk bed factory at some point in time, and something was going on with the manufacturing of a batch of these beds. And the reason for that is we had a story more than a year ago now that where they found essentially satanic markings on the bed, underneath the bed, on the woodwork of the bed that they bought at said store.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't like they got it from, a Craigslist or a classified ad at the time. It was, this is how that came in, you know, out of the box. Mm-hmm. And the wood had markings on from the factory. And it was, they had weird things, and they only noticed this once they were taking the thing down to get rid of it that they found this. So I'm wondering how many other bunk beds had similar things on them that were just completely not noticed.
Sure.
And if that is systemic then of a lot of the stories that we get in today. I don't know, because the question that I ask a lot of times is, was it a metal bed? Was it a wood bed? I'd love to narrow this down.
At least some of them that we know of,
yeah,
have been the traditional wood beds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, probably even like the one, what was it, in Horicon, that, yeah, was a traditional wood bunk bed.
As far as we know, that's how it was portrayed on Unsolved Mysteries years ago.
Sure.
And then they said, you know, they took it to the landfill and they had the obligatory landfill shot of someone with a steamroller running over a bunk bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what I would assume it was, and that's how I think I envision a lot of these. And some of the stories have confirmed, yes, it was a wooden bunk bed. Mm-hmm. That's my first question to that gentleman is, was it a wooden bunk bed? Mm-hmm. And can you trace anything back further on where it came from, you know, anything? Would your parents know? I mean, it's one of those odd things where sometimes, you know, my parents save every damn box they have. They've gotten for anything, mm-hmm. you know, and you go in the, oh, there's the box for the crock pot that was bought in 1988,
sure.
you know, and in case you need to put it in there, there it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, you know, if that could be something someone may still have is the box that the thing came in, and it's just in storage somewhere in someone's attic. If we can ever narrow any of that down, that would be very interesting. And I imagine over the course of the years, we may get closer to that. Mm-hmm. But that's my theory. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's wrong. I think sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, the situation of the house is haunted and they happen to have a bunk bed. You know, but there's a lot of interesting, odd things there.
Yeah.
So, and stay tuned, everyone, for a very interesting announcement soon about bunk bed bills. So I'm going to say...
Okay.
I don't want to say anything else or other ideas because I haven't completely got it narrowed down yet, but there's going to be an exciting bunk bed bell announcement in the coming months mm-hmm. here on Real Ghost Stories Online. So that'll be fun, and I'm not going to say anything else about it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Kyle and hear your story. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, my name's Kyle, and I subscribe to your Ghost Stories Online, and I thought I'd just call in a ghost story. Well, actually, it's not a ghost story. It's for your omen stories day, whenever you have that. Anyway, so I was probably about 16, and my mother was living in a two-bedroom, I guess it's what you call a trailer. anyway, and there was two others in the same area there. And she was dating a gentleman, and he stayed with us quite often. And my sister also lived there besides my mother and me. And one day he decided we'd go out and shoot his .22 rifle after fishing. So we drove down to a fishing place and went fishing. And then later in the afternoon, we all went and shot the rifle. Well, before we went, the neighbor lady came over and said, I don't know why, but you can't go today. You got to stay home and you got to bake a pie. And my mother was like, yeah, right, I don't bake pie. So anyway, so we went. When we came back and we were stopped and decided to shoot the .22, my sister shot the .22. I think that we had three or five shots, I don't remember. Anyway, and my mother shot it, and I think his brother and sister-in-law were there also, and they also shot the gun. And then I shot it, and I remembered shooting, but I felt like one of my shots didn't shoot. Well, he turned the gun backwards to empty it because it was a .22 rifle, and one of the shots went off, and basically went all through his body, and it's what we found out. It shot him, and we went to the hospital, and afterwards he would be seen around our house quite often, and he had a certain chair that he sat in, and we'd hear a phrase that he would always say. It's from a commercial, I believe it was Don Rickles that did the shaving commercial where he opened the yogurt, hi guy. Well, this is what this gentleman would say all the time, was hi guy. And I can remember, so the omen part of this is that he passed away that day, and this woman knew something terrible was going to happen. And then the other part of this is that, like I said, he would sit in his chair, and this comment was always hi guy. I can remember waking up several times during the night, and I could see a shadow in that chair, and you could hear hi guy very plain and very clear. And we actually had that chair in like two or three different places, and that we lived in, and you could hear that same voice, "Hi, guy," every now and then. And sometimes you could see the chair had a dent in the chair, and you could feel that it was warm. It was a recliner that was one of the, like, leather, shiny leather ones. So anyway, I hope you enjoy that. Hope you can put that on somewhere. I don't really know if I want my voice online, but that's okay if you decide to put that online. All right. Thanks, Tony. Bye-bye.
So I get that the neighbor lady thought that there was going to be somebody die.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand the pie part of that. You need to stay home and bake a pie.
That does seem rather bizarre.
Yeah.
You know, is it just that's what the neighbor lady would say to... Maybe it's like a perspective thing. It's like, oh, if I were to stay home, I'd just bake a pie. You know, and it's in her perspective, that's totally a normal...
That or it takes time, you know.
Yeah, and it, you know, keeps them away from whatever could, you know, be an injuring, mm-hmm. you know, circumstance. And that just happened to be the suggestion. Stay home and bake a pie. You know, like the same as like you stay home and watch TV or something, you know.
But, you know, beyond the omen part of that story, the fact that they still heard that guy's trademark "Hi, guy,"
mm-hmm.
you know, after the fact, I always thought people that die very, you know, unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Or tragically or quickly or, you know, any of those, that there's probably a heightened, you know, heightened chance of a haunting.
Sure. It's any time, I think, where it's almost unknown as to what killed you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing that might have been fairly instantaneous there, or at least the consciousness portion of it was.
Yeah.
That's where you're much more likely to have the confused spirits, you know, not knowing what's going on, almost like when you're stuck in a bad dream and you can't get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking about that the other day. You know, it's almost, you know, and sometimes with that, when you have those bad, weird dreams and you can't get out of it, you'll wake up and like, oh, thank goodness I woke up, and you go back to sleep and it just continues on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it won't stop, except the only thing that can stop it, I mean, luckily when you're, you know, alive, is you can then get up if you need to, or, you know, do something else to try and force your mind off of, you know, whatever is bothering you. But when you're in that state, it's just this constant, you know, peril and confusion and frustration, unfortunately, you know, that they must be in.
Yeah.
So thank you for the story. Thank you for taking the time to get that out there to us. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can email the audio to us, as a lot of folks are doing now. Instead of recording it on the phone line, they're just using the audio recording option on their smartphones and then saving that M4A or MP3 file and then emailing it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. That's the way to get those stories to us as well. Let's go over to our next caller, Amy. Let's hear your story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Amy, and I'm calling from the South. We'll just put it that way. I've been a listener now maybe 2 years, and right now you guys listening to you has served me really good. It's currently June, and I'm not sure when this will air, June 2016, and I actually was trying to get on your live show, but I missed it. I missed it by hair, but anyways, I'm calling because right now I'm going through a traumatic time in my life, and it does relate to the paranormal. I'm going to get to that, I promise. With my father, who's currently on life support, and with this, it's been a very emotionally draining time for me. My father and I have been estranged for many years, especially the last year. And my dad just chose a different path in life than most people do. He always was living on the wild side, I guess you want to say, a kid at heart. And got wrapped up with a lot of the wrong people. So I'm going to go back a couple of years, back to when I was a teenager, and I have had paranormal experiences through my life, and I do believe I'm a little sensitive to things. I'm definitely an empath, I guess you would say. I feel emotions of other people. I can feel emotions when there's no reason to feel emotions. I don't really know how all that stuff works. I just know that I'm very in tune to my surroundings, I guess you want to say. And I've always been that way, but my particular experience with the paranormal goes all the way back to when I was in junior high, and I actually played with a Ouija board with one of my friends, and that was an experience I'll never forget. And I highly recommend that people do not play with Ouija boards. I know everybody says that, and it's kind of getting cliche, but I'm serious. That was one of the most frightening experiences that I've ever had, and I think because of that experience, I have experiences even to this day. I don't know if there was a door opened that never got closed, or, you know, I don't know how all that stuff works. And, you know, I'm a Christian, so I do believe in the supernatural, you know, and I do think a lot of the times we're playing with things we don't need to play with. And when you involve yourself with a Ouija board, you are definitely playing with things that do not need to be played with. And the devil's a liar, you know, he's a trickster, and demons are tricksters. So you might think you're talking to a relative or a friend that passed on, but really you're messing with something beyond your comprehension, is how I see it. But anyways, starting with what's going on in my life. When I was 17, my grandfather passed away, who is my dad's dad, who my dad is currently, like I said, in ICU. And he died abruptly of a heart attack. He actually called to talk to our family. We have moved several states away, and he had called to talk to us the night before he died. And I was 17 at the time, like I said, so I just said, oh, I'll talk to him another time, and ran out of the house and got in the car with my friends instead of taking the time to talk to my grandfather, which still bothers me to this day. And because the next morning, I'm the one who answered the phone call from my uncle, who told me my grandfather had died. So no one in my house was there, otherwise he probably wouldn't have told me that. But so I kind of lived with that for a very long time, and especially after the funeral. And I would say maybe 3 months after my grandfather's death, I had a dream. And the dream seemed extremely real. And the dream was in my grandfather's home that he shared with my grandmother, and they had a fairly large home, and you had to walk down the stairs and from the bedrooms in the second floor, and when you walked down the stairs, you'd walk right into the kitchen. And in the kitchen, in my dream, although it seemed very real, I walked down the stairs like I did every morning, and I walked in the kitchen, and I was startled, because when I walked in the kitchen, there was my grandfather sitting there. And you know, I knew he was had passed on, but he was sitting there in the seat that he always sat in at the bar. And he turned and he looked at me and he said, come sit down with me and talk with me. And he was cleaning his glasses like he always did with his handkerchiefs. And it was just so, everything was so notable. The smell of the house, everything was just like, and it was just so real, like it was actually happening. And I don't remember the conversation. I don't remember a lot of what was said. I do remember certain things that was said, though. And one of the things was just like, you know, you don't need to feel bad about not talking to me. And so anyways, we talked a little bit more, and then he said, okay, well, I have to go now. I'm sorry, but it's time. And I said, wait a second. What do you mean you have to go? You know, you're going to stay, right? And he's like, no, I have to go now. And he just disappeared. And I woke up from the dream, and I cried, and I really do think that that was my grandfather visiting. We're going to fast forward now a couple, let's see, 20 years, I guess. Not 20 years, 10 years, 11 years. Oh, time. Anyways, 11 years from then, my grandmother passes, his wife, my dad's mother, passes from cancer. And it was about 3 or 4 months after she died, and it was devastating. That was probably the most devastating loss I've ever had in my life. At that point, she died from cancer, I was there the last 2 weeks of her life. And if you've ever seen anyone pass away from cancer, you know, it's terrible. It's just what it does to the mind and the body and everything. It's it's heart-wrenching. So I was there, and I helped my dad's sister take care of my grandmother, which was her daughter. You know, I helped take care. Me and her both took care of my grandmother, and she passed after 2 weeks. And, you know, I came back home, and I was devastated for months. Just, I couldn't get out of this terrible funk, and I was so devastated. I mean, devastated over her death. And we were kind of estranged too for a while up into her death. That didn't even make any sense, but you know what I mean. You know, and we had lived far apart for so many years, but like we still had that bond there. And I was really grieving over missed time. And I thought there was going to be more time with my grandmother. You know, I didn't think she was going to pass on so quickly. So there was regret and guilt, and I just couldn't get over that. And like I said, about 3 months after she passed, I had a dream. And this time, my grandparents had a lake house, it was a trailer, but it was like, it was on a lake, almost like a cabin kind of a situation. And it was different in the inside, but I knew that's where I was at. I knew I was at that lake, and that's where our family went every summer. That's what we did together when I was growing up. And, you know, I just remember being there and being so happy I was at the lake. And then I remember I was sitting in a room, like a living room or a den, playing with my children. And I'm going to get emotional. I'm going to try not to, though. And my mom comes in and says, "Hey, there's someone in the kitchen that wants to see you." And I walk into the kitchen, and there is my grandfather and my grandmother that have passed sitting at the table, smiling and saying, "Come sit with us. We want to talk with you." And like I had said before with my grandfather, it was so real. I mean, it was the realest, like the sun was shining in the windows. I mean, I could tell you every little detail about it, you know. And they said, "Grab the kids." And I grabbed my kids, and I ran up and sat in my grandparents' laps. And everybody was laughing, and we were just enjoying each other. And I was crying uncontrollably. Like, I don't think I even said any words because I was crying so hard and shaking from crying. And they were both comforting me, telling me, "It's okay, we're together now. And, you know, we're just waiting for the time when you get to come be with us." And it was just, after I woke up from that dream, I was made whole again. You know, like all that disparaging feelings from before was over with. And, you know, whether it's paranormal or not, you know, whether, you know, it was the ghost of my grandparents or the spirits, whatever, from heaven, you know, coming to reassure me that I was going to be okay, because my grandparents had a large, you know, portion of raising me as a child up until, you know, I was a teenager. And I was devastated by their departure. I really was. And so I don't know if it was just the fact that they had come to reassure me of everything. But the weirdest thing about it was after my grandmother passed, like I said, there's always been trouble with me and my father. And one thing my grandmother said before she passed was, "Please, please, please help take care of your father. Help watch out for your father, you know." And my father, I've always been kind of a mother to him. And a friend. It's weird how to describe our relationship. It's not a father-daughter relationship, which is sad, but it is what it is. So she kind of put that burden upon me when she died, and I felt like the last thing I needed to do was let her down. So for years and years, I tried with my dad, and it got to where I could no longer talk to him on the phone. It was just eating me alive, you know. And I quit talking with him. And when I would quit talking to him, my grandma would show up in my dream one way or another. It wasn't really maybe necessary to tell me to talk to him, but she made herself known in my dreams. And she would do this. And so that would prompt me to call my dad and check on him. And she would do this over and over and over and over and over again. And I got to the point one day where I told my grandmother in my dream, you know, "I can't take care of him for you. I can't be his keeper anymore. You know, I tried for years." And she quit coming to my dreams. And the time that she quit coming to my dreams was the time my dad quit calling me. And so months and months and months and months almost has gone by since I last dreamed of my grandmother. Now, right before I found out about my dad being in the ICU, I had a dream about 3 weeks back of his sister, and I dreamt about her, and the morning after I dreamt about her, she called me to tell me she had cancer, and it wasn't good cancer. And then, you know, I had that, but I haven't dreamt about my grandmother, and with my dad being in ICU, it's been 10 days now that my dad's been in ICU, and I haven't had any dreams, and I'm just kind of puzzled.
That's where it cut off. I think she really needed to have us listen to that because mm-hmm. she's really struggling right now.
Sure.
You know, I think she's having more than just dreams because it seems like what she's doing in her dream is kind of affecting, it's having a result, even though it's in her dream. So, like, she told her grandmother that she can't be in charge of her dad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped having her grandmother come to her in her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be that maybe this isn't his time? Maybe he will get well, or maybe she just realizes it's time for you to think about you. I don't know.
Or is it the grandmother coming at all? Is this more of like a realization thing and kind of working through it?
Yeah.
You know,
it could be.
It's hard to tell in that situation because I could see it on either way,
mm-hmm.
being as real and vivid as this is for her.
Mm-hmm. But the way she kind of had a premonition about her aunt's
mm-hmm.
cancer, you know, that
yeah.
kind of tells me there's more possibility there than just the average dream.
I agree. That's where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you throw the other wrench into it where it's like, okay, well, this could just kind of be, you know, a dream and you're working through some issues in your life. But then it's like, wait a second, this kind of coincides here. And this piece of information otherwise would not be known.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it really gets to get into that. So thank you for calling and sharing those experiences with us. Obviously, there was quite a bit there. And I'm glad we could be an outlet for you to kind of work through some of that and try and make sense of some of this stuff. Thank you for calling. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Good morning. This is Joseph calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. So my story is 20 years ago, exactly 20 years ago, not to the date, but close to the month, I moved to the United States from Venezuela, a country down in South America. And when we moved here, we didn't have a place to stay, so we ended up staying with some friends for like a couple of weeks until we were able to get our own place. And in the meantime, I was sleeping on the couch. Now, right next to the couch, there was a recliner. And this I will never forget because it still spooks me every time I think about it. I feel like someone told me to wake up and look at the arm of the recliner that was right next to the couch. But I woke up literally with my heart counting at a slow pace, which was the most interesting part about the whole thing. And what happened was as soon as I got woken up, my heart was kind of at a slow pace. I feel like someone told me, look at the arm of the recliner, and literally there was a face right there. And the face was making like mean expressions. Now, being a 16-year-old kid, also being somewhat of a hard ass in a way, I kind of look at the arm and inside that face and with that mean expressions, I mean, making it to me, my heart pounding is at a slow pace. I said, you are not going to beat me And I went and I took a swing at it. As soon as I took a swing at it, the face went away. And my heart pace went back to normal. Then the very morning when Will woke up, I mean to go to high school and all that, I told the mom and the dad of the home where we were staying what happened what happened in the middle of the night. And they said to me, you know, needless to say, a month ago, my father-in-law passed away, and he's been bugging the crap out of us ever since he passed on. And I was like, wow. Everyone in the house, including my mom and my dad, were like, wow, that was interesting. Sorry about the noise in the background, my daughters. But anyways, that's my story. Just wanted to share it with you. Thank you for all that you do. I really love your show. I enjoy it very much, and I just love it. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
It's funny how much some of these things can make sense when they're discussed, you know, almost as they're going on.
Yeah, and they're just like, oh, yeah, that's my dad or my grandpa or whoever. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of that affirmation that, yep, there's somebody else here that knows there's something else going on.
It makes you wonder how many ghost stories we get would have, you know, similar affirmations from other folks had the events ever been discussed, like, while they were going on with the other people who may have potentially been affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Other folks in the same house. But so many times it's like, I didn't talk about it because I didn't want to upset somebody or be looked at as crazy or this or that. But and then sometimes you have it where it's like, I finally told my sister about it 20 years later and she had the same stuff. You know, how much more could have been learned had it been discussed when it was fresh in everyone's mind?
Yeah.
You know, it's always interesting. Thank you for sharing that with us. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Eli, and I am from Los Angeles. This is my first time calling in. I have a ton of stories throughout my entire life, but something just happened to me that I wanted to share with you really quickly. I was going through the drive-thru at Taco Bell, and I ordered my food. I'm by myself. I actually just pulled over to tell you this. The guy at the front, when I pulled up to get my food, he was tripping out. He said he thought there were two people in my car. And when I asked him why, he said, I swear I heard another person talking to you. I'm totally by myself. I wasn't on my phone. I did not have my music on or anything. I just ordered my food. And when I got there, he said, I swear I heard another female talking to you. It sounded like two women talking. And he just kept saying he was tripping out. He was telling his coworkers, and he kept joking around saying I had Casper the ghost in my car. The interesting part about this is my entire life, I've had a female attachment, a female spirit attached to me. I've had a lot of weird things happen with this female entity, you know, getting in the way of my relationships. So, yeah, it's just very bizarre. And I haven't had this female entity show herself or speak to me in any way in about 7 years. And this is the first time that I guess, I don't know if she's coming back. I don't know. I'm just totally tripping out. I had to pull over. It's about 11 o'clock at night. So I'm a little creeped out in the middle of nowhere driving by myself.
And there you go.
That's great.
I can understand why you'd be a little bit freaked out. Having your companion that you never really are able to connect with, but they're connecting with the Taco Bell.
They just want a quesarito. That's all.
The quesarito.
That's all they want.
What is the quesarito? That's the taco that's wrapped in the quesadilla.
Yeah.
It's
a burrito that's wrapped in like a crunch thing.
Okay.
It's good.
It's like the newest version of the... We used to be the double-decker taco, but now they do it into the burrito. And I believe they have like a chalupa version too, don't they?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But it makes you wonder, okay, does this drive-thru kid just... Does he have experiences? Or was this just because it was the sound through a device that they were able to hear, almost like an EVP?
Yeah.
You know, can you pick up an EVP through a drive-thru speaker?
It makes you wonder.
Yeah.
You know, about what, and it makes you wonder also, how often does that sort of thing happen at a drive-thru?
Uh-huh.
And it's just kind of written off, you know, it's like, oh, whatever, you know, and, you know, half the time, it's such a dismissive experience that unless you're really paying close attention, you're probably going to miss a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's something very interesting to think about. Thank you for taking the time and thinking of us to stop what you're doing and share that story with us here. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And I think that will wrap up our show for today. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Thank you for being an E. You already are one. Thank you very much. If not, sign up to be one on our website, ghostpodcast.com. That's a place to do it. Only $5 a month to sign up for that EPP membership. Get all of the bonus episodes, all the extras right there at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.